Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I was helping the Retirement Advisor Group. They're not talking to 30-year-olds. They're talking to people who are in their late 50s, maybe early 60s. They see that retirement on the horizon, three, four, maybe closer than that years down the road. And Thomas can just sit down and fill you in. That's it. You're going to be out there. I'm going to be there. Dave Glover will be there. Annie Fry will be there. We're going to be hanging out with folks at about 6 o'clock. At around 6:30 at the Frontenac Hilton next Tuesday, Thomas will start to enlighten you on things you need to know before you retire, how to make sure you've got steady income in retirement that's not going to go away before you do. You don't want to run out of money before you run out of time. Let's put it that way. And he's been doing this for over 30 years, and he knows what he's talking about. So, again, call 855-755-1555 to reserve a seat. It's free. They just need to know who's coming because space is limited. You can also book online at retirementkey.com.
According to Forbes, 96% of Americans, 96%, claim their Social Security benefits at the wrong time, and it costs them an average of $111,000. Discover how you could avoid this in a free educational boot camp, Retirement Planning 101. In just one evening, you'll learn from decades of financial planning experience about reducing your taxes, maximizing your Social Security benefits, generating income, and more. This free event is taught by a fiduciary from Financial and Tax Architects in St. Louis. If you're over 50 and save more than $300,000, be one of the first 10 callers to attend this free retirement boot camp now at 314-626-8816. That's 314-626-8816. 314-626-8816.
Annie Fry here. If you're nearing retirement, call my friend Thomas Helbig with the Retirement Advisory Group at 314-626-9494. He'll show you strategies to guarantee income in retirement. Thomas is the official financial advisor of The Annie Fry Show.
This hour of Mark Cox is sponsored by CBD Works. Order your quality CBD products now and get 20% off with code 971. That's CBDWorks with an X.com. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
Listen to both sides.
The bottom line is,
I respect that we don't agree.
You're listening to The Mark Cox Morning Show.
Just to find a voice. Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
I don't know how to put this.
Mark Cox.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, folks?
And the president places himself beyond accountability, above the law. Cannot be indicted, cannot be impeached. It makes him a monarch.
It's a partisan impeachment that they've delivered to your doorstep in an election year. Some of you are upset because you should be in Iowa right now. But instead, we're here, and they're not ready to go. And it's outrageous.
That, of course, was Mr. Schiff there off the top. And then Patrick Cipollone, who's one of the attorneys for the Trump administration during day one of the impeachment trial in the Senate. Are you ready for day two? Are you excited? Are you ready to go?
I almost can't contain my excitement.
Me neither. Welcome back into the Mark Cox Morning Show in here, along with Tricia Siegman and Denise Schaefer this morning, and kind of keeping you up to date on what's going on. It doesn't start today till around noon Central Time. I believe 1 o'clock Eastern is when they're scheduled to get underway again. And I'm expecting more of the same.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, late last night, the snipping got so bad, just after midnight, that John Roberts had to step in and tell him to cut it out. That's not what you're here for. Just give us the facts, that sort of thing. They're going to vote more today. What I wanted to do today was give you a little more inside baseball on how this is going down in the Senate. So let me introduce my guest. Thomas Gipping is with us today, Deputy Director at the Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies, Senior Legal Fellow with Heritage, and, of course, a former legal counsel there for the Senate Judiciary Committee. Thomas, good morning. Welcome back in.
Good morning. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. So what's your reaction to day one, the display you saw in the Senate yesterday?
Well, I think people probably already, feel a little bit of sympathy for Chief Justice Roberts, in part because he's got to sit there. And I worked in the Senate for 15 years, and I know that it does not look pretty or close up. He's got to sit there and listen to all this, but he's got a real job, you know. He's got to be across the street at the Supreme Court in the morning, and then he comes over at 1 o'clock in the afternoon to, you know, kind of supervise the playground. And then if it works the way it did last night, they didn't take their final vote until almost 2 o'clock this morning. So, he doesn't even really have a substantive role in all of this. So, you know, God bless him. He's a dedicated public servant, that's for sure.
Well, yeah.
the votes that they took last night were a stunt by Chuck Schumer. The only thing that was supposed to be debated and voted on was the resolution spelling out the timetable and kind of the structure for the trial. It was very similar, a few differences, but very similar to the plan that was used for the Bill Clinton impeachment trial. And instead of offering amendments to address genuine issues that he might have had, most of Schumer's amendments were simply trying to force the Senate to issue subpoenas for these people who he thinks ought to testify. And in fact, these are people who the House could have forced to testify, but didn't. And these are people who, under McConnell's own resolution, there'd be an opportunity about mid-trial to make these decisions. Schumer tried to force the Senate right up front to take votes on those things. It was nothing but a stunt. Everybody knew what the outcome would be, and it's wasting everybody's time.
It sure seems like it. Here was some of – now, the senators aren't allowed to speak during the actual proceeding, but, of course, Chuck Schumer – found a camera as soon as he got a short break. Here's a cut 23, please.
For then the president to deny the right of Congress to conduct oversight, deny the right to investigate any of his activities, to say Article 2 of the Constitution gives him the right to, quote, do whatever he wants. We are staring down an erosion of the sacred democratic principles for which our founders fought a bloody war of independence.
Yeah, you know, Chuck Schumer also made the correlation that this is part of congressional oversight. I know you've written a piece for Heritage regarding that. What's your reaction to that?
Well, he says that because he wants people to think that this is just part of the ordinary job that Congress has, and that if you cut it short here, if you don't give the Senate everything that it wants here, everything else is going to slide into the abyss. I'm sorry, but that is a lie. That's not just misrepresenting. That is a lie. This is not oversight. Impeachment has its own rules, its own authorities, its own procedures, its own purpose, and all of it is separate from oversight. Oversight's supposed to be connected to the legislative process anyway.
Right.
And you heard Schumer say that Trump is denying the right of the Senate to oversight or investigate. How on earth could a president deny the Senate or the House from investigating anything they wanted? He couldn't do that if he wanted to. And so, I don't know, this Schumer playing the victim, it's kind of like, you know, the guy who shoots his parents and then complains that he's an orphan or something.
Yeah, it's a good point. We're talking to Thomas Gipping from Heritage. Thomas, one last question. Part of what they're arguing here is that, you know, the president used executive authority, and that's the equivalent of obstruction of justice.
That's why the second article of impeachment to me is the most dangerous. in the sense, but it's also kind of silly because what they did was they issued the House issued subpoenas to get certain people to testify and to try to get certain documents. That happens all the time in investigations. The executive branch refused those subpoenas. What's supposed to happen if you really want the people and the documents is you go to court. They didn't do that. Instead, they just turned the refusal into a second article of impeachment, which is essentially to say, if another branch of government defends its, you know, priorities, and we do have the separation of powers after all, and does what you'd expect another branch of government to do, Congress is going to impeach you for it. Congress is going to impeach you for operating within the separation of powers that our founders designed. I mean, it's insane. So, that's what that's about. They're really taking advantage of the kind of low level of basic knowledge that a lot of people have about these matters. If you don't know anything, you'll buy anything, I suppose. And they're hoping that people will just accept this false, fictional version of the way our system of government is supposed to run and how the impeachment process is supposed to go.
Well, I love the fact that you can give us that background from your years in the Senate. If people watching this I guess the bottom line is it seems like Chuck Schumer can delay. Ultimately, all Mitch McConnell needs is that 51st vote, and he can set the rules however he wants them and conduct this. Given that, do you think this is going to stretch more than a week or two?
Oh, it'll stretch longer than a week or two. The Clinton trial took 5 weeks, and almost six, actually. And you saw already day one that there's these opportunities to force votes and all this kind of stuff. All of the different rulings or questions about evidence that ordinarily the presiding officer would decide, Democrats could demand that the full Senate vote on every single one of them. I think they're going to take every opportunity they can to return to this fake issue of witnesses and subpoenas that the House told us by their own actions were not important.
I see that. I'm sorry, I was looking for a soundbite here I wanted to play for you. For people who aren't aware of basically the rules of the Senate during impeachment, Thomas, I think it was probably a little shocking for some of them to hear this yesterday.
Hear ye. All persons are commanded to keep silent on pain of imprisonment while the Senate of the United States is sitting for the trial of the articles of impeachment exhibited by the House of Representatives against Donald John Trump, President of the United States.
Though that's how it's written, correct? I mean, they're supposed to sit in utter silence.
Well, that's that's the Sergeant at Arms who you heard. That proclamation was written, I believe, for the Johnson impeachment trial in the 1860s, and it reflects the kind of gravity that this is supposed to have. Democrats are turning this into just a joke, but it's supposed to have that kind of gravity. That's why the Chief Justice, although he doesn't have a substantive role, presides over the impeachment trial of the president to, again, give it a deeper sense of gravity and of seriousness. Remember, our system of government is based on elections, people being able to choose our own leaders, and impeachment, especially for a first-term president, short circuits all of that and denies the people the right to choose their own leader. So that's a very serious matter, and things like that proclamation, the structure of the trial, the Chief Justice presiding, is supposed to give it some gravity. Of course, this is the 21st century where almost anything can be mocked and played with.
Well, it's true. And then yesterday, to your point, we had to listen to Adam Schiff make this comment. Cut number 13, please.
Then the president places himself beyond accountability, above the law. Cannot be indicted, cannot be impeached. It makes him a monarch.
You know, we've heard that claim before, which to me, that might have been the most outrageous thing said yesterday. And it's a claim that rarely gets challenged when these folks on the left are making it. I mean, a monarch? Seriously, well, you have an election in 9 months.
That's a lie, too, because Donald Trump, first of all, cannot place himself above the law, nor has he claimed that he's above the law. The Constitution itself explicitly says that if a president is removed by impeachment, he can still be prosecuted if what he did was criminal. And the law, the Constitution, is being followed in this very impeachment trial. So, you know, it's like the articles of impeachment themselves. When you kind of blow at them a little bit, the smoke seems to shift around a lot. This is not a serious attempt to follow the Constitution's impeachment process.
Yeah, it's a good point. Thomas Gipping joining us here from Heritage. And, you know, for those of you who weren't listening at the top of the hour, in addition to being a legal fellow over at Heritage, worked in the Senate for many years in his role as an attorney and understands deeply what's going on here. You know, I listened to Jonathan Turley during the House impeachment inquiry make the point that what's being attempted here by the Democrats in this country is endangers the presidency moving forward regardless of your party. And I think people have lost sight of that. Do you agree with this point?
I do in a couple of different ways. Number one, at the base of all of this is simply disagreement with the president, opposition to the president with regard to his policies and his presidency. Again, if there's anything that should be left up to elections, it's that. You can't impeach someone simply because you disagree with them. That might be called a revolution.
Yes.
And the second way is this business of the separation of powers being completely disregarded puts not only the presidency, which is in one branch, but also Congress in its branch at risk in terms of the design of how our system is supposed to work. You know, each branch, the founders of our country thought you divide it up into three parts. Each branch is going to fight to retain what it does get. There's going to be competition. There's going to be resistance when one branch wants the other to simply, you know, take a knee. And that's what's going on here. But, you know, I think President Trump has news for Adam Schiff. Just because the House says jump, the executive branch is not going to ask, well, how high? You know, there's going to be interests that are going to be defended. That's how our system is supposed to work. And House Democrats have tried to turn that into an impeachable offense.
For the people who missed it, early, one of the suggested amendments that Chuck Schumer introduced would have changed the rules to an extent that it would have been a little different than what President Clinton faced. Oddly enough, Susan Collins voted in favor of that and against the Republicans on that case. But isn't it the height of fairness if you're subjecting this president to the same rules of impeachment that the last one faced?
Well, of course, we've discussed that from the very beginning of the House impeachment. I mean, the Republicans in the House wanted to follow the same pattern as the last presidential impeachment, and that president, of course, was a Democrat. But House Democrats refused and rigged the rules in their favor. Now, here we are in the Senate. McConnell wants to use the same basic framework that the Senate voted 100-0 to use for the Clinton trial. In other words, all Republicans supported using that approach for a Democratic president's impeachment. Republicans want to use the same approach for a Republican president's impeachment. That's as bipartisan, nonpartisan, I suppose, as fair as you can get. Democrats are the ones that are flip-flopping based on the party of the president.
Yeah, it's a great point. And Thomas, one last question for you here. Is there any such thing as double jeopardy when it comes to the impeachment of a president? If he's vindicated here in the Senate, if they find no finding of truth with these impeachment articles, can they try him again? Can they try to impeach him again for the exact same reason?
Well, as a legal matter, the formal principle of double jeopardy, which operates in a criminal trial, that doesn't apply technically in the impeachment process, but the principle is the same. Frankly, if the Senate acquits the president, or should I say when the Senate acquits the president, should he get reelected and the House wants to re-impeach a reelected president, let him try.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. Or, you know, I mean, I guess, heaven forbid, The president wins re-election, but the Senate flips for some reason, and the Democrats control both houses. They could make another run at it. So they could,
but remember, conviction requires two-thirds in the Senate.
True.
Not the simple majority that it requires in the House. But my point is, you know, if the American people say, look, we want him to be president even though he was impeached, and the House is stupid enough to try to impeach him again, go ahead.
Yep. High drama. Give it a try. Thomas Gipping, thanks so much for your insight today. We appreciate you.
Sure, anytime.
You bet. Heritage.org, and this, let me tell you, Tom Gipping wrote a couple of great articles on this for the Daily Signal, which is the online publication for Heritage Foundation. So just go, if you go to the Daily Signal, you can see a couple of these where he talks about 8 things you need to know and why he thinks there are people in the Senate trying to rig this impeachment trial, including Chuck Schumer. Some great pieces on it. Just to make sure you've got the facts when you go to the water cooler today or you're sitting around having a beer with your friends and they try to lead you astray on what this is really about. It's not following proper procedure up to this point at all. That's the bottom line. Hey, you know what? Stacey Washington is going to get to the bottom line with us here in just a couple of minutes. Got Stacey on the right coming up at 7:35. My friend Virginia Cruda from the Daily Caller is in here about 8:35 this morning. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Getting the job done right means working with a team as dedicated to your business as you are. Introduce